Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready. Hold on to your nipples.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. My man T-Mill is on the ones and twos, as I'm sure everybody out there can tell. The Astros, they took one on the chin today, 9-3. A little spring training game. Ain't no big deal. We will give you the update on that game as well. But I do want to get this conversation out of the way. Look, we've been talking a lot about Cam Smith. And Cam Smith can damn sure get me excited if he proves the rest of the way here. They got about 3 weeks, a little less than 3 weeks left.
Yep,
if he proves the rest of the way here that he is opening day roster
ready?
Ready, yes.
Get a look at him in right field tomorrow, I believe, right?
He was DH today, and just for the record, Cam Smith, DH today, went 0 for 3. He's now down to he's hitting 450, and that slug is down to 850. So it's you knew he wasn't going to keep up that hitting over 600 kind of thing, but we'll see if he can stay hot and if he can keep moving the needle and trending in the direction of opening day or getting more run and development at the lower levels. We'll see. So Cam Smith is definitely one of those guys. But guys, tell me if I'm wrong about this. I'm not speaking for all Astros fans, but I feel like this is probably pretty widespread of an opinion. If there's one player on this Astros team that can move the fan base significantly, I'm not talking about, obviously, you got a bunch of guys that are they're healthy and our expectations are that they either rip the cover off the ball or they pitch well, whatever. But I'm talking about come out of nowhere, surprise folks, jump back on the scene, turn me on kind of deal. Lance McCullers, that guy, right?
Oh, man. I'm glad you're on this type of time, Clint. I've been talking like this for a while.
Bury me in the age.
If you sounded like me.
There's very few things I'm going to tell you. Like, I love going to Astros games, the thing for me with watching sports live, any sports live, like, it's about, I mean, I want to go with you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I want to get the fellas. My wife wants to go. If she wants to go see a game, like, I want to. It's about the experience more than the team, right? So, but just be completely honest with you, right? That's just how I've always been. This is one of the moments where if Lance McCullers, by the way, here's the update with Lance McCullers. He threw live BP today, 30 pitches. He hit 94, and the reports are that he felt good. He's ready for action in a Grapefruit League game, which will probably happen next Tuesday. Yep. That's the last report I saw, unless there's something else that's popped. That's where we're at with Lance McCullers. But, guys, if Lance McCullers continues to trend in the right direction, if Lance McCullers is healthy, The day that he's scheduled to pitch, assuming that he's going to be a starter, because I know there's a lot of folks that believe he may be a little better out of the pen, but he set that record straight a couple weeks back.
He ain't having it.
Nah, he ain't having that, man. I ain't having that. In fact, by the way, if anybody's out there wondering, it'd be harder for me to stay healthy in the pen than it would if I was a starter, by the way, just in case y'all are wondering. That's kind of how he left it. But if he's scheduled to start, I mean, unless one of my little girls got a birthday party or an event or something, there's a good chance I'm going to be in that building.
It feels huge.
I think the place would be slam packed, and I don't care what night it is. And I think him just towing the rubber, I think the place goes absolutely bananas.
Yeah, I think for a number of reasons. Obviously, because he's Lance McCullers, and so he's one of the few. I mean, him and Jose Altuve basically are the only holdovers from the original World Series team for the Astros. So, like, he's got kind of a little bit of that legend to him, but then there's also the mystery of having not seen him pitch in almost 3 years. What does it look like? And then for me, so that's two-prong. And then the third one is, okay, but what if it's good enough for them to keep rolling them out there?
Yes.
What if it's good enough for them not just to do it early in the season?
The buzz around the whole team moving forward would be crazy, right?
I mean, think about it. If it's by July, Lance McCullers is actually a factor in your rotation. And by the way, again, you actually don't need. I'm so glad you hit this, Clint, because I am real bullish on the pitching for the Astros without Lance McCullers. Like, not factoring him into equation. Right.
Just in general.
In general, I like what they've got going.
Okay.
If you bring him into the mix, and let's say, and I mentioned this on In the Loop a couple weeks ago, let's say it just really actually took these 2 years for him to get right. And now that he is, right? Like, we can harp on the fact that he's luxury Lance and we ain't seen him in so long and is he washed and all of this kind of stuff. Should he be out the bullpen? But let's just say, you know, it's part of the theory that it took 2 years to figure it out. And it is figured out. Forget if he's, you know, a diminished version, if he's the same Lance, but he's still some version of Lance McCullers now after these 2 years. That changes a little bit of the conversation for me of what the Astros pitching looks like. On top of everything that you talk about, going out with the boys, the mystique, it's Lance McCullers. We don't have many like this no more. Yeah. Bregman's gone. Kyle Tucker's gone. We know who else has been gone over the last few years. You got Jose Altuve, Lance McCullers, and, you know, Yordan has kind of like been grandfathered into it. But, like, you don't have a lot of those, Pena, you don't have a lot of those guys anymore, like homegrown guys. I think you'd absolutely want to be in the building for it, but also it could change the conversation about what the Astros pitching looks like.
713-572-4610. Hit us on them chats. Hit us on that text line. Let us know. Am I crazy? Am I overselling Lance McCullers? And look, I'm not sitting here telling you it's going to happen. I'm just telling you if it does, I think the Astros fan base is going to go bananas. I think even your casual fans that catch 2-3 games a year, I'm not talking about people that own season tickets. I'm talking about you folks that catch 2-3 games a year with the fellas or with the significant other, whatever. I think that is it's definitely appointment television. That's for damn sure. If not, I'm buying tickets immediately to get there. I think that's the case. 713-572-4610. How you feel about it, Astros fan?
And think about it, Clint. It's been years. Yeah. So, like, I know we joke about luxury Lance, but now it really is that. Luxury Lance, you're not necessarily counting on him or depending on him. Anything that he gives you at this point, like, he's been out of sight, out of mind. When was the last time you felt like you were dependent on Lance McCullers? It's been years.
He's been a luxury for 2 years.
The last time we saw him, he's never dealt with the pitch clock. Like, that is nuts to me.
Yeah, good point. He's got a lot to figure out, doesn't he?
It's been years. And so, like, and now it's even more so. Like, anything he gives you is gravy. It's not like your hopes and dreams are hanging on his health or anything like that. He goes out there and he's balling. It's like, oh, wait a minute. That's right. Lance McCullers is on the team. I forgot about that because it's been years.
Well, to me, Lance is kind of like, you know, that country music artist I was telling you about yesterday, that just the one that goes out there and leaves it on the stage every damn time. I mean, that's why. That's my affinity for Lance, is the way that he plays the game, the intensity, the sense of urgency, just the way that we as fans, when we watch him, we know how important it is to him. It's hard not to love that. It's hard to not get excited about that. It's a beautiful thing. So I don't know. I just think Lance McCullers is the one guy on this team. There's a bunch of guys that can play well, and we expect to play well, and we're going to sit up and go, hey, that's a long season. That's what we expected out of this guy. If Lance McCullers gets back in this rotation to any degree, and to your point, has any level of success, it's going to be wild.
Let me add this too, Clint, and this is not a small issue for me. The Astros have lost a little bit of shine, like a little bit of the cachet and like that edge and just like that thing that made them special. Obviously, they got Yordan, Jose Altuve still on the team.
Yeah.
But they don't have that mystique, if you will, that they used to have. And I feel like a Lance resurgence, a Lance comeback, if you will, to help provide a little bit of that. You know, make this team. I'm intrigued by the team just because I'm into the team and I'm into baseball and all of that. But to, like, really make them interesting again, I feel like Lance could help that a lot.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. But here in Houston and nationally, just another recap on today's spring training game. They lose 9-3 to Washington. And looking down the box score here, Cam Smith 0-for-3 with 2 strikeouts. Vic Caratini 1-for-2. With a walk. Jake Myers had a hit today as well.
Jake with the rake.
You better.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys that had hits, but I'm just going down the list of guys that folks will know, and that they know we're absolutely dependent on them for damn sure. But as you mentioned too, Cam Smith, I think the big note for the Astros, Cam Smith in right field tomorrow.
That's gonna, again,
the significance of him moving to right field is that it seems like he's a little ahead of plan in terms of how long he's going to spend in the minors, or if he can be on the roster opening day for the Astros. The thought was apparently that he was going to be at third base, and then they'd work him into the outfield once the minor league season started, and he got used to big league at bats and big league third base. And because he's swinging the bat so well, and apparently because he's handling all that comes with playing every day in spring training and potentially being a big leaguer, because he's handling it so well, they fast-tracked him. They're going to play him in right field and see how he takes to right field. Been working in right field for 3-4 days now.
Yep.
Again, the athleticism shines out there. Apparently, he is an unbelievable student of the game, extremely mature, soaking things in, and again, ahead of the curve, ahead of plan in terms of what they're going to do with Cam Smith. So, again, not only is Lance McCullers one of those guys that gets you worked up, Cam Smith and his progress so far is as well.
Yeah, we sent a crew out there early on in spring training a couple weeks ago now, and they got to be around him a little bit, and we were able to put out some stuff, like to actually hear from Cam Smith. And he's an impressive young man, like for a 22-year-old with very little experience. This is all fairly new or new enough to him. He presents and comes off as somebody that seems like he's ready. Now, that doesn't mean he necessarily is, but if he is, like sometimes, and I think about this with Cam Smith, like sometimes you just got bats that you can't keep out of the lineup, especially depending on what your particular situation is as a team. And again, they've lost some shine. They've lost some talent. They could use everything, like everything that they can get. So he might be one of those where it's like, man, we got to figure this out, because even if he goes through stretches where he struggles, it's like, man, he's too talented to keep the potential out of the lineup, right, what he might be able to do for us on a given day.
Let me ask you two guys this question on the Astros front, because I think this is gonna tell us a lot about the Astros. Like, I'm talking future, long-term future. Which one of these youngsters that have arrived already on this team that you've got expectations for, which one taking the next step are you most confident in? Which one? I'm talking about confident. Pena. I'm talking about Yainer Diaz. I'm talking about Jake Myers. I'm talking about the guys that are lock, stock, and barrel starters. And not Altuve and Yordan Alvarez. I don't. I'm talking about them. Let's go with those three right there. And look, I'm not comparing the three, by the way.
Sure.
I'm just saying, because Jake ain't gonna be on the same planet as those two guys. But it would be nice if he brought more to the table as he plays more in the big.
Mine's a catcher, man.
Yainer Diaz?
Yainer.
Yeah, I had to think about it for a minute, but once I did, it's pretty easy. Like, you said confidence, it's got to be Pena.
Just confident, Pena. Excitement, like what?
Yeah. Like,
oh, I mean, like Pena?
Well, just because I've seen, if we're being honest about it, it's really only been flashes. The overall body of work with Pena has not necessarily been all that impressive, but I thought he had moments last year where he took a step back defensively. I know that he has elite defensive ability in him. And then at the plate, man, they talked a little bit about, you know, at spring training about him making those adjustments in his swing. And I feel like it should just be there, man. He's a good enough player, good enough athlete, a strong enough dude. Look at him. He's one of the more impressive, more imposing dudes that they got on the team that's not named Yordan Alvarez. I feel like he should be better at the plate. And I got some confidence that he will be. He'll be better than what we've seen him be.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going with Tyler with Yainer Diaz.
Yeah.
And here's why. I could get good and excited about all of them. Hell, I'll be honest with you. I think it would mean more to the team if Jake Myers actually did it.
No doubt.
If Jake Myers swung the bat well enough to be the six-hole hitter and confidently a six-hole hitter,
I
think that would do more for the Astros. But here's what I think from Yainer Diaz. You know, we had a free swing in Yainer Diaz in 2023. Free swing and chase and stuff, a lot of pop, a lot of power, show prompt, but I mean, just the Altuve trying to pull outside pitches, swinging out of your shoes all the damn time. There seemed to be no method to the madness, right? And then this year, I think he did a 180. Like, he sacrificed power in a big way, really, but he sacrificed power to be a more disciplined hitter at the plate. And to me, with Yainer Diaz, there's a middle ground. Like, I think he's a guy that can be more disciplined at the plate, but also pick and choose his time to come out of his damn cleats.
Yeah.
It's like we've seen the extreme both ways with him. And now it may be something to do with him playing more catcher and playing in the field more. And not, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much of that is real or how much of it isn't. But to me, with Yiner Diaz, there's something there for him. He's shown the ability to make drastic changes, right? So he's obviously a student of the game. He's extremely coachable. If he can meet in the middle of 2023 and 2024 Yiner and just meet in the middle, there's a chance that we're talking about a significantly better hitter that also brings more power to the plate, some of that 2023 power that we saw.
Yeah, and I think Yiner Diaz is a perfect perfectly fine choice here because I do think if we're just talking about as a hitter, Yiner Diaz is a better hitter than Jeremy Pena and has shown that for the most part. I would say like the difference between the two is Yiner Diaz, I feel like I just know or either have accepted, I put it this way, I have accepted that there is just like boom and bust potential with Yiner Diaz. The dude is either going to strike out or he's going to get a hit. You know, whereas with Jeremy Pena, I feel like he can be kind of a more well-rounded, not necessarily just hitter, but like more well-rounded at bats, right? Like he can take a little bit from what, you know, what Alex Bregman used to be. I'm not saying he'd be Alex Bregman and have that type of play discipline, but to be able to work counts and give you quality at bats, a little bit of the nerdier baseball stuff, I think Jeremy Pena is capable of doing. Whereas Yiner Diaz, you up there on the edge of your seat because you know you're there for a good time. This man is going to either swing out of his shoes like you're talking about, or he might put it over the fence.
Yeah.
That's kind of just what he is. I've accepted that. With Jeremy Pena, I feel like I have not accepted yet that he's just, you know, a mediocre to bad hitter. I feel like he should be better than what he is. And maybe this, I know you asked about confidence, but this might sound more like optimism, but I feel like he's going to turn a corner.
Yeah, no, that's you're hitting the nail on the head. I mean, that's
he needs to. They could use it.
I think those three guys, and more so Pena and Diaz, but Pena, Diaz, Jake Myers.
Yeah, all of them.
All of those guys take a stride in the right direction, it's going to do a ton for the confidence, my confidence in the Astros' ability to keep this World Series window open. I think there's some promising pitchers that are going to be fine if they just keep on keeping on. You know, I think the Cam Smiths of the world are going to come on and eventually at some point in time be a player. Altuve and Alvarez are going to give us what they always give us. I think Christian Walker at first base is going to give you something that's really good. Obviously,
we're going to really like Christian Walker.
Yeah,
if he stays healthy, we're going to really like him.
But boy, if those three guys just take a step in the right direction, damn, that could be impressive, man. It's going to be fun. All right, we got to get back over to these Texans, y'all. The new league year, NFL league year, is here. It's come and gone. It hit at 3:00. It is 3:20 right now. Let's check up on these Texans, man. What are the needs? The biggest needs for the Texans, and we're going to give you two names at each one of those positions that are still on the market for the Texans, for the taking, for the Texans. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 16.
Every season brings highs.
I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
And lows.
No way, because I know one of you two ass would have done the same thing that I just did.
Are you kidding me?
This trio always has eyes on the market in H-Town. It's time to buy or sell. It's stock up.
The arrow's pointed up.
Stock down.
They're selling, Mortimer.
On the drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That is right. Every hump day right here on Houston's number one afternoon drive sports talk program. This is what we do. We do a little stock up, stock down. And today we got B. Scott Skeezy in for Ron the Show Hughley, who's somewhere out there with Mickey Mouse in Orlando. Stock up, stock down flavor for today is NFL free agency. Nothing better to talk about as all these headlines are rolling fast and furious, especially here in Houston with the Texans. And I want to start with the former NFL quarterback himself, old Dirty Red, Clint Sterner. And let's get the negative out of the way first today for this edition of Stock Up, Stock Down. Clint, what is your stock down for this NFL free agency period we're experiencing?
Well, I'm going to go with a guy that I would not be disappointed at all if the Texans didn't land this guy. It's definitely a position of need, but I just can't get over the fact that he's still out there and available, and I can't get over what the hell happened last year in Buffalo, Amari Cooper. We're watching guys, DeAndre Hopkins signing with the Ravens, and there's a De'Ami Brown signed with the Jaguars, and Darius Slayton went back to New York, and Marquise Brown went back to Kansas City. You know, obviously the guy at the top, Devontae Adams, goes to L.A. Chris Godwin signs back in Tampa. Amari Cooper is one of the top three or four free agent wide receivers that are out there, and it's absolutely silent around Amari Cooper. Look, he's a guy that I think he's always flown under the radar. I don't think Amari Cooper, maybe contractually he has, but I don't think as in our world of talking some of the best wide receivers in the game, I don't know that Amari Cooper ever really got the run and the respect that he deserves. I love Amari Cooper. Another to me, B. Scott, another one of those guys that his game is going to age well.
Yeah,
right. I think big bodied guy that's a really good route runner. Now look, I know there's been some injuries there, but what I don't know what happened in Buffalo last year. That word on the street is he fought some injuries there, and it really hampered his ability to get on the field and help them late in the season. But overall, man, that's the guy to me. In the wide receiver group that is like, what in the hell is going on? Like what? Like I mean, he went from Cleveland last year to Buffalo, and you think that there was going to be? Was there a team to stop in between there too, or did he go straight Cleveland to Buffalo?
Cleveland Buffalo is what I remember.
Well, you know, I thought he was going to take off with Josh Allen.
Traded
he didn't
before the deadline, I believe. Last year.
So yeah, I'm going to go with Amari Cooper. As I look down the list of free agents that are still available out there. Amari Cooper still being on the shelf for me is one that's a little eye-opening.
I like Amari Cooper in this spot because, honestly, man, I don't think this is me overstating it, man. Amari Cooper is one of the better route runners of his generation.
Fair.
Like, of his era of wide receivers.
Fair.
He is somewhere close to the top. If we're just talking about just terms of straight-up route running, and most people that are, like, you know, really close and would be more experts than I am would agree with this.
I mean, we watched him go for over 200 yards right here, I mean, a calendar year ago.
Clint, that was, again, a calendar year ago. That wasn't that long ago,
right,
Clint. So
yeah.
You got to figure that some of that is still there. And like you said, the game has got to age well. The way I look at that is just like, you know, a hidden gem.
Yeah.
He could be somebody's hidden gem. If he lands somewhere, I would not mind if he landed with the Texans. Wherever he lands, though, I think it could work.
The other thing I love about him, I know this is a stock down, and I'm telling you how much I love the guy, but the other thing I love about him, there's very little noise ever comes out. Whether it's a good situation, bad situation, he just goes about his business, and I love the way he handles it. But for whatever reason, he's still on the market, so the stock down for me is Amari Cooper.
There you go. So old Dirty Red, Clint Sterner, stock down is Amari Cooper. Over to B. Scott, who was in for Ron the Show Hughley today on The Drive. This is Stock Up, Stock Down, and now I want your stock down, Skeezy.
I got a real side eye with the Seattle Seahawks right now. I'm not really sure exactly what they got going on, man. And I'm not saying that I really care, but we're just trying to observe to see what's going on around the league. They done traded Geno Smith to the Raiders. They done traded DK Metcalf to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're signing Sam Darnold to a Baker Mayfield type of deal. My stock down's got to be for them, man. I would much rather just keep Geno Smith and much rather run it back and try to just address that offensive line. I don't know if they're doing that for Sam Darnold. Like, that was, you know, part of the reason why Sam Darnold was able to excel in Minnesota was because of what was around him.
Yeah.
Seattle has not created that, like, at least not yet. So I don't know exactly what's going on over there in Seattle. Huge side eye, and I would say the stock is down, letting DK Metcalf and Geno Smith go just to bring in Sam Darnold with no infrastructure around.
That sounds like a we're going to be looking up mid-year and everybody's going to be wondering why they can't score points.
Yeah. And they didn't
doesn't
do it a lot.
Doesn't make any sense.
And they weren't good at it last year with Geno and DK, so that maybe that's just the case for it. I mean, if you look at it, man, they ran like some of the fewest plays. They were bottom five or seven in rushing attempts and passing attempts. They just didn't get an awful lot of plays, man. And they had a bad offensive line. I don't know what they got going on over there in Seattle.
All right, so for Skeezy, stock down today is those Seattle Seahawks. This is Stock Up, Stock Down, live on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. We do this every single Wednesday right around this time. We're on the show, Hughley out today. The voice you just heard, that's B. Scott. No, it is not the former Texan wide receiver Cecil Shorts. Clint, back over to you. Now that we got the negatives out of the way, what is your stock up for this free agency period this year in the NFL?
I'm going to go back to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's fixing to get broke off $49 million from the Jets, and I'm assuming it's happened by now. I hadn't seen official word, but I knew it was going to happen post 3:00. And it appears I just read another report that now Minnesota, which I know Minnesota's been interested, but now that it's getting down to cutting time, Minnesota appears to be extremely interested in Aaron Rodgers. So not only is he getting broken off a boatload of money from the Jets, but he's got two football teams, one that won 14 games last year and one that hadn't been sub 500 since Mike Tomlin took over the damn team. I mean, that this guy's in the catbird seat as it pertains to teams that want to win right now with very limited options for him. So, look, I'm going Aaron Rodgers, man.
Man, I'm with that on the Minnesota side. I'm kind of confused by them. It's like, do you believe in J.J. McCarthy or not? I get Aaron Rodgers, yep, though. Obviously, we talked about that earlier. But, man, he is about to get broke off. It's wild to think how – you know, how these quarterback markets go. You know what? I had a team theme. I was going to go with my stock up being the Chicago Bears because I was going to echo some of the things that you've already said about what they did on the offensive line and bringing in Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson and all. And I love that. I'm going to make a quick pivot here, though.
Okay.
And go with Myles Garrett. Because look, I want to do this because I feel like a lot of people were, you know, he was the butt of some jokes because he demanded a trade, and then he went and signed for some money and went back to the team where he demanded a trade from. And people think that's kind of like funny and weak. I don't at all, man. You go and get that contract. They paying that misery tax.
Any way you can.
Hey, look, the Browns are paying what I'm calling now a Browns tax. They had to pay the Browns
misery tax.
It's a misery Browns tax. They had to pay it to Deshaun Watson to choose to go there.
Yep.
And we've seen how miserable that's turned out to be. And, of course, Myles Garrett is a great player, but he's miserable because they can't win worth a damn. And it's a misery tax. If Myles Garrett got to stay in Cleveland, you better make it worth his while.
All right, y'all. I'm going to try this one more time. I screwed up last time. You know that stock up, stock down is priority. But the Texans, they have needs. They've changed a little bit over the last couple of days. Free agents are flying off the board. Who's available that the Texans need to land ASAP? Is there a need, a gotta-have position, and who is available? We'll break it down next right here.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Sports Radio 16.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out there in Florida with his family at Disney World, making some memories with them kiddos on spring break. He's doing that's right. That guy right there doing exactly what he ought to be doing. He got the whole damn family out there. They travel about 12 deep now. They travel about 12 deep when they roll on vacation. So he got plenty of help out there. I heard he's getting a lot of steps in, and everything is rolling beautifully out there for the Hughley family. We want to make sure that they stay healthy, stay hydrated, and travel safe, no doubt about it. But B. Scott is in for Ron Hughley. Tyler Milner is behind the glass on the ones and twos. The NFL's new league year has hit, and it hit at 3 o'clock today, 3 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock Eastern, and there's plenty to track right now with the Houston Texans. They need interior offensive linemen like you wouldn't believe. They need wide receivers like you wouldn't believe, and I think they need running backs or a running back in a pretty desperate way if you want to get the best out of Joe Mixon, the guy that's there now. Now, they got some guys on the roster, but I don't think those guys at the running back position are irreplaceable. Here's what I'm looking at, B. Scott, with the Houston Texans. Right now, just to update the people, interior offensive line, wide receivers, and running backs, no surprise, the biggest needs are on the offensive side of the football. Now, is there something that could happen on the defense side of the football? Sure. I think D'Amico obviously has a tremendous eye, and when he thinks he can upgrade, find players that he can use in unique ways, and he's going to pull that off and make that happen. Now, what we need these guys to do is hit on the offense, especially after making the Laremy Tunsil trade. There has to be more noise made from within the organization on the offensive line. And here's B. Scott, just to remind the people what all's going on is Laremy Tunsil has been traded for 4 draft picks. Shaq Mason has been released to recover $2 million worth of cap space. And Kenyon Green was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, a safety. And so you three, literally three starters from the offensive line week one in 2024 are gone. And what the Texans have done to date is in free agency, they brought in Laken Tomlinson, a guard that's played with three different teams, was a Pro Bowler at one point in his career. Again, the one thing, and I'm just sharing news here, I've not studied the guy, but there are some advanced stats out there that'll tell you that he struggled last year in the pass protecting category, which is exactly what the Texans need to get away from. Now, a change of scenery, change of coach could help that. But even with Laken Tomlinson, you can't tell me that Laremy Tunsil out, Shaq Mason cut, Kenyon Green moved on from. All you got is Jarrett Patterson and Juice Scruggs and Blake Fisher and Titus Howard. You can't tell me Laken Tomlinson being added is the move they're going to make. There has to be more. There has to be better brought in. And right now, B. Scott, on the just tracking free agency around the NFL, there's a lot of guys, a lot of players that have flown off the shelf. Right now, I'm looking at the interior offensive line. You got three guards and a center that I would like any one individually or any two of these guys brought in here. Tevin Jenkins is a guard. Josh Myers is a center. Kevin Zeitler is a guard. Mekhi Becton is a guard. Tevin Jenkins is a guy that comes out of the Chicago Bears organization. If you bring him in, it's more based on the draft pedigree, if you will, than necessarily the film he's put on tape with the Bears. All right, Josh Myers, center out of Green Bay. What I've read is there's some up and down. Some folks believe that he was one of the stronger pieces. Some folks believe that he was one of the weak links with the Green Bay Packers. Believe what you want. He's a veteran center that's on the market right now that I think would be an upgrade here in Houston. Kevin Zeitler, this is the one I'm zeroed in on, B. Scott. Guard, he comes out of Detroit, again, an older player, 34, 35 years old. I'm not concerned about the age. I think this group could use some maturity, somebody that knows who the hell they are, somebody that comes out of an organization that believes in just straight physicality and dogging folks. I think Kevin Zeitler would be a good fit physically. I think he'd be a good fit from a personality standpoint of how you go about your business as well. The other guard that's on the market is Mekhi Becton, who was a tackle coming out, failed miserably at multiple places being a tackle, goes to Philly, and one of the best offensive line coaches moves him to guard, and now he's a free agent after winning a Super Bowl. He's going to get paid. Big road grading guard. Again, I would say his strong suit is run game, not necessarily pass protection, but he is an option. Those are the four guys. I said I was going to give you two. I gave you four. Three guards and a center that any one or any combination of those four in Houston would be absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's interesting that the Texans just traded Kenyon Green to the Philadelphia Eagles, and now Mekhi Becton is somebody who is available and would be useful to the Texans, because Mekhi Becton is basically what I think the Eagles are going to try to do with Kenyon Green, right? It's kind of like the inverse of what that is. And I think he would help here. If I had to rank him, Clint, and I'm interested, like I'm keyed in on guard. I know we talked about other positions. We understand they need to do something about the running back position. We understand that they need to add wide receiver. But I cannot get myself like unfixated off of guard or off of interior offensive line. So I'm like, I'm focused on that. For me, if I had to rank him, I'd go – you know, Zeitler, I'm right there with Zeitler with you. Then I'd go Mekhi Becton. I like Brandon Scherff as an idea. He's a little bit of an older older interior offensive lineman at 33, 34, somewhere around there. But I think it's somebody that the Texans should be very familiar with. It's someone who played within the division.
Yeah.
And I think could help them as well. And then Tevin Jenkins will be last on my list for the reasons that you mentioned, because the film, and I'm not pretending to have studied all the film, but I do follow media quite a bit in Chicago, and I know what the conversation at least is around Tevin Jenkins, and it's not a positive one per se, and he's available for a reason. I would say he'd be the one that I'd be least excited about, but like you mentioned, there is some pedigree there. Maybe there's something that you can work with. You know, you're already trying to do it with Tomlinson, right? You know, bringing him in after struggling. So that's probably the one that I would rank last, but I'd still be okay with it. Those other three guys that I mentioned, though, Zeitler, like you're on, Mekhi Becton and Brandon Scherff, all three would get me real excited for the Texans.
Yeah, you bring those guys in here, one or two of those guys in here, along with already having Laken Tomlinson, along with Jarrett Patterson and Juice Scruggs. Now, you've got some serious competition, and ultimately, you're too deep across the board there, and you can weather the storm of some injuries inside. I think they need significantly more than what they have now, and they can't answer all the needs on that interior offensive line with the draft. And again, I want to go back to what we've heard every decision maker in the organization, with the exception of Cal and Hannah McNair. We've heard Nick Caserio, we've heard D'Amico Rines, and we've heard Nick Cayley now on the offensive side of the football being a decision maker. Every one of them talking about protecting the quarterback from the inside out.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that you're going to go into a camp with Juice Scruggs, Jarrett Patterson, and Laken Tomlinson as your front line. And really, to be honest with you, if that is the case, you don't your second line of interior offensive line is non-existent. Like, there has to be more to come, Houston. There has to be more to come on the interior offensive line based on what they've told us, not what I'm saying. They've told us that, damn it, come hell or high water, they're going to protect the quarterback from the inside out.
Well, I like what you said earlier, Clint, about how you would feel differently about the Laramie Tunsil trade if this
Absolutely,
is what they did.
Absolutely, 100%.
Because that's a good way to look at it. Like, it's okay to get rid of a, and I said this yesterday, you don't need necessarily an offensive lineman as good and as highly paid as Laramie Tunsil, so long as you have five that work well together. But that leadership and that, you know, above average play, you figure has got to come from somewhere. Like, somebody's got to be a dude, right? And they don't all have to be, again, all pros.
Right.
But somebody's got to be a little bit above average somewhere. Yeah. And when you look at it now, you're like, okay, this is just a collection of dudes. Yeah. It could work, but it's not going to give you no confidence that it will work.
B. Scott, there's so much wrong with the offensive line last year, whether it's the coach, the communication, the personnel, the individuals, the toxicity in the room late in the season. There's so many things that were wrong. If you just get the scheme a tad bit better, and if you just get the communication a tad bit better, and if you just get a little bit more lead in your ass on the inside where you can anchor down and protect the quarterback from the inside out, right? If you just, like, those things just a little bit better, not best in the NFL, just a little bit better. If your quarterback understands, hey, man, I've got to play a little bit more like Brady. I can't drop back and play like Josh Allen, hold the football all day long and run around like a chicken with my head cut off. That'll protect the offensive line. Like, all of those things together just being slightly better, this team will overcome the Laramie Tunsil gap in talent on the offensive line. I mean, like astronomically overcome it. Not just, it's something similar. They just need to be a little bit better on several fronts, and it'll be a more united front, no pun intended, the five offensive linemen, and everything will be fine. That's where we're at in Houston, is you can't just fixate on the sheer talent up front, given that there's a list of five or six things that were the cause of the inability to protect the quarterback last year.
Yeah.
All of it has to improve along with the talent as a whole, right? Wide receivers, real quick, we're up against it, B. Scott, but I do want to talk about the other needs. Wide receivers, the wide receiver room with the Texans is a need. No doubt about it. Right now you got Nico Collins and you got Christian Kirk, and then you have John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson. Like, you need some more big-time pelts-on-the-wall type of players. Here's who's available. You give me two of them you like right here, B. Scott. Amari Cooper, Mike Williams, Elijah Moore, Keenan Allen, Cooper Kupp. Now, I know you like Cooper Kupp. There's some money differences there. But if you could get one or a couple of those guys in Houston, who would it be?
Cooper Kupp's at the top of my list out of all of them. We talked about him earlier, but a close second, if not 1A, would be Amari Cooper. Like, out of the guys that you just mentioned, I'd be good with Keenan Allen as well. Like, I know he's not necessarily as explosive as he used to be. And you know, the offense in Chicago last year was a mess. They had weapons. They had the talent. But they didn't have the structure or the scheme or really the execution or anything to really make that look like what it was supposed to look like. I still think that Keenan Allen is another one of those guys, and we talk about him, whose game translates well as they age.
Yep.
I can see Keenan Allen having a pretty decent role with the Texans, but I'd go Cooper Kupp, Amari Cooper, and then Keenan Allen is my ranking those guys in terms of desire.
I feel like, for some reason, as I said earlier, I can't forget about Cooper Kupp, just because there's dots that connect L.A., Cooper Kupp, and the Texans with Nick Cayley. Like, there's something there. But I think a real possibility is Amari Cooper. I think you're going to get into that 12 – million range with Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
And I, so I think that is a real possibility.
It.
Running backs, real quick, when my bust through these, I'm going to tell you who's available. J.K. Dobbins, Rico Dowdle, who started and got all the run in Dallas last year, Nick Chubb, and Kareem Hunt. Not a lot there on that market in terms of true number two backs. I didn't see the scat back market, but there's it's slim pickings there. I know a lot of folks are high on J.K. Dobbins. I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens there. I just firmly believe there's a need there for the Texans. All right, did you know that there is a bonus structure, a bonus system in place in the NFL for the lower paid players that perform at a really high level during any given season to get broke off a little bread, to make a little bit of money? Huh? Two Texans got paid. I'm going to tell you who exceeded expectations, how much they got paid. We'll do that next. Right here on Sports Radio 610.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.